Hey guys, welcome back to Sundays at Sarah's. It's me, Marissa.
It's me, Miriam.
It's me, Sarah. Sorry, I was reading a text from my dad. He was wondering if I'm okay because I didn't answer. I'm so sorry. It's me, Sarah.
It's me, Sarah.
Wait, it's me. Anastasia.
Take two. Hi guys, welcome back to Sundays at Sarah's. It's me, Marissa.
It's me, Miriam.
And it's me, Sarah.
And we thank you guys for joining us. We're gonna have a really great episode today. We're gonna be talking about how to price your work, why artists price the work that they do, and how you should approach artists when you're considering asking them for commissions or to buy pieces that they already have made. But first, we'd like to begin with an event that transpired on Instagram. Twitter. As so much happens on social media nowadays. And so, quick summary of this event. Miriam will give us more details because, of course, she's always coming to us with all the hot information, the hot tea. So, essentially what happened was that there was an artist on Twitter who would put out online tutorials and how to, just kind of drawings and, like charts, I guess, almost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these were obviously free to the public because there was no charge. She's just posting them on Twitter. Anyone can learn from them. And this artist would also give advice, right? Like, if people asked him, it's a guy?
Oh, it was a girl.
Oh, girl artist. Like if anyone, you know, you sometimes leave questions and sometimes they respond. And, someone asked for advice, and in her response, she had mentioned that this person was an amateur, but not out of ill intent, but because there is a language barrier, English is not her first language, and the person on the receiving end was very offended that the artist used this word amateur towards them, and used that to create a sort of hate train, and caused a bunch of bullying and, you know, nasty words to go to this artist. And as a result of that, they felt so, I guess, upset about the situation, one, and two, frustrated about everything, that she ended up just taking down everything from her Twitter, all the arts and the how-to, like every single post. And obviously a lot of people were upset about this too. I don't know, Miriam, do you want to take it from here? Or?
Yeah, so what happened was that this artist, their handle was Manga Materials. They were giving, like you said, how-tos and correct ways and showing just, like, people, like, certain ways on how to draw manga and taking care of, like, anatomy and how to use it in your illustrations. And a lot of people use her guidelines. But, like, I guess this one person just, obviously this person is Japanese, but the receiver was somebody, I think they were Western, on the Western end, and I guess they just didn't like that that they called them a beginner, and that the translation didn't, like, go through, and they pretty much bullied them to the point where they privated their account. They were deleting all their tutorials, and just so, like, a lot of people were hurt, and I mean they were hurt, and a lot of people were upset because one person ruined it for everybody. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. This just goes to show that even artists get bullied online, and that was something that I wanted to talk about in today's pre-topic. Like, what do you guys think about that? Because it's just you know, artists can't even escape it.
Yeah. So first off, we all agree that there is no place for bullying, even if you're far away and you think you can get away with it, or you think it's not gonna affect the person. It always does in some way or somehow. It always affects the person, whether you think it's a very trivial thing, or I mean, just as trivial as you felt this, or just how you were affected by this one word, that stream of action that you did was a lot more than that one word. So, I mean, kind of compare that. Like, this person just said one word, amateur. And I'm thinking, like, amateur is anyone. It's anyone that's just a beginner. And it's not really... It's hardly ever used
in a hurtful way.
Yeah. And like, I would even be like, oh, I'm an amateur in this field. Or, I'm an amateur. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone be like, amateur. Except for in, like, Hollywood movies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but what I was saying is that, I mean, compared to what you're doing, if you did not like what this person said, amateur, then talk to them about it or ask them why they think that rather than going back and, I don't know exactly what was said, but if you're, it was bullying to the point where this person felt like their work should not be out there anymore.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, because we talked about this a little bit beforehand, so adding on to what Sarah said about that was this, the artist is Japanese, English is not their first language, and if you look up maybe like a synonym in the dictionary for beginner, novice, amateur would be in there. And maybe amateur can sometimes have a negative connotation, but for someone unfamiliar with the language, they're not aware of that. Like, why would you attack somebody for that? Instead of, you know, if that person really felt so hurt, and I understand, I'm not trying to discredit that they were upset and hurt by that situation or being called an amateur, because when you're talking over social media, Twitter, Instagram, text message, you lose so much of the communication that you get in facial expression, in tone. So you don't always pick up how people are delivering the statements that are being said to you. And I'm sure if that conversation was had in person, it wouldn't have been like, you're an amateur. It would have been like, oh, you're just an amateur. Like, a beginner, here's more you can learn.
Look at more of my videos.
So yeah. Maybe we need to have a little bit more understanding, and that person really should have taken it, you know, maybe privately messaged the artist and been like, hey, I was kind of upset that you called me an amateur. It's kind of derogatory if you want to say, maybe that's how that person interpreted it, but then there could have been clarification on that end rather than creating this hate train and bullying so far that it compelled this person to hide everything that they had been sharing with everyone. And these were tools that other people, like amateurs, were using, you know, and people who were learning about this style of art to grow and to, you know, develop their work. And then that's just, of course, the internet is so grand. There's a plethora of information. There's so many people you can look at, not just with this one person. But when you already have a following with someone and you like their art and you like to see what they're posting, then it's just like a really crummy experience for the artist especially. And then for the followers that really enjoyed seeing what that person had to share.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing is that the original tweet that I saw was from an outsider, and they're saying how rude do you have to be to, or like, what did you say, like, that this person had to take such a big action to pretty much take all the accessibility away from all these people. And then that tweet had over 1,000 or 10,000 likes. So it's obviously people were using her material. Obviously people were using those sources and those free resources. And it was just unfair. Like, it's completely fair for the artist to do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. But that person that was harassing her made it unfair for all these other followers and people who use her tutorials that maybe can't afford to use something like a paid service to learn certain things. And so it was just like, that's a heartbreaking thing that not only did the artist suffer, but all her followers that really like her work also had to suffer for it too.
Have any of you had to deal with some sort of bullying towards your art?
I've never dealt with it, but this is not the first time I've seen an artist deal with it.
Yeah.
I think, on Instagram, I've seen, like, artists who kind of like to draw all the same things, and that's just mm-hmm. like their style.
Right.
But people will like make fun of them. They're like, that's the only thing you know how to draw. This is like the only thing that you think is beautiful. You don't think other things are beautiful, and you're being subjective to other people, you know. And it's like, just because this person likes just because this artist likes to draw portraits in a certain way,
yeah,
they just receive so much hate for that. Like,
okay, that's ridiculous. I mean, to each their own. Everyone has their own thing, and if everyone's doing the same thing, or everyone's doing the same thing, or the thing that this particular person wants, how boring. Everyone gets to do whatever they want, and if they're good at it and continue doing the same thing, fantastic. That means they're getting better and better at what they're doing, and they're becoming like this person who did these videos. She obviously did the same thing over and over again and was able to become a teacher. Not only a teacher, but someone that was willing to show her work for free.
Mm-hmm.
And to it just goes back to what we were saying, is this person was just horrible enough to her that she felt like she needed to take everything off. And that's just discouraging. When you say things like that, it's very discouraging. And it's not nice.
Bottom line. So the point is, be kind on the internet and in person. Yeah. Artists go through bullying as well. And so don't bully artists.
Yeah.
Don't bully anyone.
Don't bully anyone.
Yeah.
I think, what did you just mention about, like, they were doing something
doing
for
free.
And,
and this person had the audacity to demand more from this. Like, they wanted more than what they were being given. And what they were being given was so much.
I think a big thing, and this will be a segue into our main topic,
uh-huh.
is that when people see that you're good at something, or they know that you're an artist, or they know that you're creative, they think you can do anything like this, and that it's not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not taking your time. And how do you think that makes people feel when you're expecting them to pull work out of thin air for nothing? You know, I've done plenty of free work, but there have definitely been times where I've had to pass up on people, or had people pass up on me, or just leave me on read after I try to do price breakdowns, or tell them that they have to pay before I'm going to start doing the drawings. Sometimes, I understand people, I don't want to blame anyone. Like, I don't want to blame people who aren't artists, who are outside of the field, for sometimes the ignorant comments that they make, or for not understanding cost, or for thinking that things are too expensive, because they're not aware. It's just, there's not really an awareness for it. They're not taking classes. They don't know how much you spend on the material. They don't know how much you spent on the piece, like time. And they also don't take into consideration the time that it took you to learn the skill set to be able to make those pieces. And so there's not a value to that. And so I think it's good for people to become more aware and more educated on it. I don't want to attack anybody, but there have definitely been times where, for example, with tattooing, when I was practicing tattoos, people always want to come out of the woodworks and offer up their skin. And yes, as an apprentice, you need, obviously, people willing to let you practice on their body, and that's a big part of it. And I'm thankful to everyone who has let me hurt them, because I'm hurting you so that I can do a craft and give you a piece of art and add to my portfolio. But you can always tell people who are just like taking advantage of that situation. People who are like, oh, I have some skin for you. You can do this big piece. And they start making demands of your, oh, I want you to do this, this, and this, and that. And can you also add this? And it's like, no. I have these set images available. This is what I can do. If you'd like me to work on a larger piece, if you'd like me to draw something out for you,
there's going to be a charge for that. And then I've had people who are like, okay, that's fine. Do the drawing, send me like when you're done, and then I'll pay you. And I don't do that either. If I'm going to work on... You don't go to the store and take a piece of clothing off the mannequin and leave the store and go to your house and try it on and look at it and then go back to the store and pay for it. You don't do that with any other commodity in this world.
Or any other service, like plumbing. You don't pay the plumber
after.
You pay them up front. Or do you pay them up front?
I don't know. But
I think you pay them.
Yeah, you pay them after, but you don't expect them to do it for free. Or you don't... You acknowledge that they have a set price, and you don't haggle them. Because if you're haggling them, you're disrespecting the work that they did and the work that they had to do to get to where they are.
That also reminded me of, because you were saying that people were leaving you on red.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually, yeah, that reminded me that somebody left me on red. And it wasn't even, like, a single person. It was, like, a store or, like, a goods place. And they were going to do, like, a paint and sip. And then they were looking for artists to host the paint and sip. So I gave them, like, the breakdown of how much I would charge for the hour or for the session. I gave them a breakdown of the materials and that some of the materials were only one-time buys and how much it would be. And I told them, like, even, like, if you need me to break it down even more.
So you even had screenshots of, like, all the pricing and where you were going to be ordering materials from.
Yeah, and I had the breakdown for everything. And I was like, if you don't understand the pricing, then I can go over it with you. And they left me on red. And I was like, that's literally a company that left me on red, not even like a single person. And so, like, that's rude. That's rude to leave somebody, even if you're like, oh no, that's out of our budget right now. Anything.
And that's completely understandable. I understand that not everyone can just drop however much money on a piece of art. You might really like something and admire it, and you can't buy a one-off piece or like an individual painting. You might be able to afford prints that the artist does later on. And that's a lot of how artists supplement income, is by selling the prints versus the one-offs. But, I mean, like you said, just respond. Like, you know what? Like, I really love your work, or I really enjoy seeing your stuff. Unfortunately, at this time, like, I can't afford that. Hopefully in the future, like, I can work something out with you, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. But it is really crummy when people just leave you on red, or they're like, oh no, not worth it, or no, maybe when you have more experience. And like I said, I gave an example with like tattoos, tattoo imagery, you know, getting just even designs done, but it happens even with my quote unquote fine artwork or the things that I've done in college. And those things are often even harder to sell because they're not easy to look at and figure out, and it's not so consumable for the viewer. And also, don't get close to artists expecting that your friendship means you'll get something out of it later on. I know this is a little bit different than the topic of pricing your art, and we are going to go into breakdowns. We are going to talk about the who, what, when, where, and whys of pricing art. But I need to get this out.
Yeah.
You don't get close to people because you're like, oh, they're an artist, or they're a tattoo artist, or they work in a job that... Like, it's good to make connections. It's good to be friends with people that you want to be friends with. I can't tell you how many times someone has, you know, sparked a conversation with me, we become friends, they message me, they want to hang out. When they see me, it's like all smiles. And then maybe like 2 or 3 months down the road, they start asking me like, oh, can you design this for me? Can you draw this for me? And then when I say like either, no, you know, I'm so sorry, I'm really busy with other priorities. You know, I just finished school. So being in school, working, just like not wanting to do something else when like other art, when I'm having to do art 24/7. Or even when you're like, yeah, I'll do it, this is how much it's going to be. It's going to cost this for supplies, this for the time, whatever it might be. And then either no reply or like, yeah, sure. And then ghosted after that. And then you never see that person anymore. And they don't wave to you when they see you. And they're not asking how you're doing anymore. Like, that stuff is so easy to read. And it's really disappointing because I love my friends and I really care about the people that I interact with. So then when no one likes to be used for anything, and real friends and people who really enjoy your work will value it and pay for it, whatever they can or however they can support you. It doesn't even have to be buying your art. It could be sharing your work on their social media or inviting people to your shows. When I had my solo show, one of my coworkers, he also went to UTEP, not involved in art at all, is in like the student council organizations, went on his Facebook page for like the student council body and invited them, like posted my flyers. Like, that meant so much to me. Mm-hmm. Things like that are equally as important as buying work, and those are other ways of supporting people. And so you can tell when people are just in it for what they can get out of you. Mm-hmm. And that is the worst feeling. Yeah. The absolute worst feeling. It has happened to me so many times in the past 2-3 years.
And it's disrespectful.
Yeah, and what you were saying, that he promoted your flyer. That's mm-hmm. that's key word. Exposure is not payment. That's something that I've come across before, where I've seen threads on Instagram and stuff where someone asks for something to be done for them and will say, oh, your payment is exposure. I mean, unless you're a huge company or something huge, first of all, you're not going to be expecting that for free. The company's not going to be expecting that for free. If they're such a big company, they can pay. But exposure is not payment. You can share their information. You can share their profile. You can share past work that they've submitted on their Instagram, tagging them, giving them the credit. That's good exposure. But if you want something done specifically for you, to your specifications, you have to pay.
And I understand everyone has to begin somewhere. I don't expect to get paid thousands of dollars for my art right off the get-go. And like I mentioned, I've done plenty of free work or things for people because I'm genuinely excited or because I like them, and I don't mind doing free things every now and then because I do enjoy drawing, and I do enjoy when people come to me with fun project ideas, and I'm down for it. And I understand, like I said, you have to start. But when the whole exposure for payment sort of thing. It's like when you see job companies nowadays putting in their required field, bachelor's degree required, hopefully 2-3 years experience in this field, unpaid internship, like
$200 startup fee.
Yeah. Have you like, seen those? It's like, you want me to have what experience and what degree, but you're not going to pay me. It's like, that's the kind of feeling that it is. If you spent 4 plus years in school and you got a degree, and now you have your degree and you can't find a job anywhere, or the only positions being offered are internships, unpaid internships, and they're requiring all this experience. That's what it's like when you're telling someone, oh, I'll pay you an exposure. It's like that, but just in a different field. And I mean, the biggest thing that I saw recently was like the whole Miley Cyrus cake with the abortion as healthcare.
What's that?
Oh, okay, so there's this woman on Instagram, and she does, like, designs on cakes, and she had designed a cake, and, like, it was, like, a white circle cake with, like, I think it was, like, pink frosting and sprinkles.
On the sides.
And she wrote, abortion is healthcare, and it was, like, a post, and it had a lot of likes. Like,
I think I saw the picture.
The original post had a lot of likes. Miley Cyrus goes on her Instagram, and they had a cake made literally the exact same thing, and she takes a picture with it and she's like licking it or whatever bullshit she was doing. And of course she's promoting the same idea that, you know, abortion is healthcare, it's a positive message, did not tag the artist, did not like credit her. And then people on Instagram, like on the comments, were tagging her, like the original artist who they recognized her work, And she was obviously upset. She was leaving comments. And Miley Cyrus's team, or Miley Cyrus, they, like, saw her replies. They saw her post on her Instagram, because she was posting about it on hers. And they credited her, like, they added her at on the picture. And, like, they put in the comments. And then Miley Cyrus' Instagram account asked her, can you please take down your posts? Like, we already, like, credited you. Like, we're really sorry. We didn't mean to do that. We didn't know who, like, we just came across the picture online and, like, we didn't know. And, like, now we're getting, like, all these messages and this isn't that. And the artist was like, no, like, tagging me is not payment. I still have not given you the okay to use my stuff. And how dare you come to my account where I'm exposing a wrong that many people are agreeing and seeing is wrong and tell me to take down my stuff to make you look better. I don't think tagging me is enough of payment, and I'm not okay with that. And so that was, like, the most recent thing that I saw about whole...
It's also not enough of a sorry. Like, you, like, you know, they should have taken down the whole post.
Yeah.
That, like, if you didn't know where your source was from, then you needed to do more research. That's that's bad on her team. That's bad on her. They were not the original designers of that cake. They literally mimicked the cake exactly to the T.
Really?
Same frosting, same outline, same shape. Everything was exactly the same.
And she is obviously a big celebrity, someone with money, someone with resources. Like, payment, I don't think is so hard.
It should not
to expect from. It's like you said, if it's like a smaller, your friends, like, they're sharing your stuff, like things like that. But when it's like companies trying to use your work without, like, you have the means. Anything that you post, like, it's like an ad. It's an ad. How much do you spend on ads on the TV, on the billboards, on the radio? That's an advertisement of someone's work. You would still pay for that in any other format, but we just don't want to pay artists. Like,
so which leads to, your work has value and you deserve to be paid for it. So how do you even start pricing your work and give yourself a fair hourly wage? And this isn't $7.50 minimum wage, guys. We need to live. So that's $15 an hour. So if it takes you, it gives me, we found this information on this website. What was the website again?
I think it was like Art League.
Well, if you go over to Art League and look up how to price your art, it'll tell you this. And it gives the example of 10 hours to make an artwork. So that's $15 an hour. And it says if the materials cost you $45, you can use $195 as your starting point. That's your starting point for your art. So for example, Marissa and I, we're printmakers, so it takes us a lot of time to even prep a print. And it says a little later on in the article how much you should be paying or how much you should be charging for a print. But also another way to figure out where to start on how to price your artwork is the cost of materials. Always take that into account. If you bought a pencil from Walmart, even those Ticonderogas, those are good pencils, but you still have to add that into the cost. You have to also include the cost of what's the word? Admission fee? Entry fees. You have to consider the paper, the ink, anything you use to make that artwork, and the time you use to make the artwork. You have to consider that into the cost. And if you're already being exhibited, and if you're looking at other places to exhibit at, also look at the prices that they're selling their artwork. For example, I remember a while ago we had a gallery here in El Paso downtown. It was called the Purple Gallery, and they had a show with Los Visionaries. They had some work up, and This was already when I was maybe in my sophomore year of college, and I was pricing my work at like maybe $20, $30 if I was even thinking about selling it. These people were selling just nice drawings on simple paper for $200, $300. And I was like, what? I was like taken aback. I was like, how could they do that? But it's because they took into account all these things. They took into account the cost of materials, the time it took them to make it, and also how people are pricing the work in the area surrounding it. This is how you should start considering your work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also take into account commission. So something else that I didn't know about until recently is that galleries take commissions out of the work that you sell. So, for example, I exhibited at the Cholo Gallery recently, and the commission was...
Didn't you say it was, like, 50%?
I think it was something like that. It was either... I think it was 50%. 50-50. So, the gallery would get 50% of what I sold, of what I could have sold. And... that's also something they should take into account. So let's say you price something at $25 and the gallery takes something at 50%. I should have chosen an even number, but half of 12.50.
I know. I was like, I don't know.
So you're going to be getting...
I've been out of school too long.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be getting paid $12.50 for the artwork that you sold. And unless that artwork is a little print or a little tiny thing, it's not worth it. You should be pricing your work a lot higher. The same with any other gallery you go to. Any gallery you go to in the United States, the prices that are shown take into account commission. So a lot of galleries, the standard is usually 40-60, so the gallery gets 40 and this artist gets 60. That's still a steep cut into what you can get.
Yeah, and for those of you who are interested in tattooing, if that's something that you're also considering pursuing or you're interested in, know that most shops also do the same thing, where if you schedule an appointment for a tattoo and you know it's going to cost you $100, you're only going to make $60 from that tattoo. The shop is going to take 40, and maybe if that person leaves you a tip, you would get the tip. But yeah, it's the same thing if you're doing quote-unquote fine art and you're working with galleries. It's the same thing in tattoo shops. Most shops will have that same sort of rate.
Also, speaking of commissions, I think something that my professor taught me, like if you're doing a private commission, if you're doing a painting or a drawing for somebody, let's say you're going to charge a customer $100, that they need to pay at least 50% of the commission before you start the work. Mm-hmm. So then if they decide that they don't want the work, they didn't like the work, at least you have like that 50%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not wasting all this time, because there's been times where I've seen that, like, somebody does all this work for a commission, but then the person that was supposed to buy it, they decide it's not what they wanted, they couldn't afford it anymore, something comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not right that the artist spent all this time making the work for somebody, and then they didn't even purchase the work. So you should always take at least 50% of the commission up front.
And I don't mean to just keep bringing up tattoo, but that is something that I'm really interested in, and obviously something that I was trying to get into for 2 years of my life and trying to get back into now. But it's the same thing. Like, there were, at the studio that I was learning at, they would charge a $40 deposit fee just to make your appointment, because that tattoo artist is working on your design and setting aside their time. They're not scheduling other people that they could be making money from and tattooing, because they save a spot for you. And then so many people no call, no shows, or they cancel last minute. And where does that leave the artist? Like, that was time segmented for you, and now they have to try to make up that time, make up that money that they lost from your appointment. So, and sometimes people don't understand the $40 deposit. And I know that at the time that I stopped going,
they were even thinking about raising it to like $60. And some people were just like, why? Like, why? But that's exactly why.
Mm-hmm.
Because people change their mind, but the artist is still doing all this work to prepare for you on the other end.
That also reminds me of that even graphic designers, to prepare like a logo,
mm-hmm.
they will charge for each like logo design that they came up with. So
uh-huh.
let's say they're offering you four logos. If you want them to draw you four logos, then you need to pay $15, $20, however many dollars per logo.
Yeah.
And then you can decide from there where to go from that logo, if you want to make changes, which one you like more. But they're still doing the work to come up with the logo. They're still offering you different options, and you need to pay for those options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So another thing that you can also base your price off of is size. This really ties into with painting. Smaller paintings normally go for a lot less than larger paintings, even if they do take the same amount of time. And I know that's kind of hard to believe, but sometimes small paintings have a lot of detail,
and
larger paintings can be not just the same amount of detail, but still smaller work could be easier to sell, first of all, and normally it does have like a lower price because it is like more accessible,
right?
And then also medium, this kind of like goes back and forth. So like you were saying earlier, it is like a lot easier to sell prints of a work because they are cheaper than to sell like the original work.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like something that you can also keep in mind, and it also can, you can grow your audience that way because you're able to reach more people because you have more drawings or more prints of your, yeah, productions of your work. So that is like another thing to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, so with prints, Miriam is referring to prints that you can get printed at a, like a printing.
Like printing of
like a digital,
an original
image.
Work, yeah.
Yeah, so print making prints that were done in the traditional printmaking process. So, for example, would be intaglios, etchings, or intaglios and etchings. Screen print. Screen prints is something different, but etchings, relief prints, even, what else? What other processes are there? I'm, like, forgetting.
Did you say lithography?
Lithography.
Monotypes.
Monotypes. Oh, especially monotypes. Especially if it's monotypes, those are going to be priced higher, especially because they're done through such a rigorous process. The reason I'm saying that screen printing is a little different is because it's still a long process, but you can have so many editions of something, and when you have so many editions of something,
the value goes down
because there's so many of it. So if the time and materials for an edition of 15 prints, so let's say these are... No, these can even be screen prints. So if the time and materials for a screen print totals $1,500, your starting price should be at least $100 each. And these screen prints would be, if it's 15, they should be a lot more than if it was an edition of 100. Because usually screen prints are done in large editions, like 50 and up. But if it's a more narrow edition or series of editions, then it should be a lot higher, especially for lithography, intaglios, relief prints. Monoprints, those are one of a kind. A monoprint, for my dear listeners that may not know, monoprint is a one of a kind print, and it can
mono,
one. Mono, mono, one, print. It's a one of a kind print. No one will have anything like it except for you. There's a value to that. And jewelry and sculpture, you can still use the time and materials formula. And it says, in the article, it says materials would probably be more of a factor. And to be quite honest, I don't know about that because I'm not a jeweler or a sculptor. Sculptor. But I do... I see them working so hard in the studios. I don't think materials is what they're charging for. It's all that time.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess if you do think about it, like the price of a copper plate versus the price of white gold, you know, okay, obviously
you take that into account. Yeah, of course,
that's
yeah.
that's going to be a huge difference mm-hmm. on them and the how they price their work.
Mm-hmm. And so, leading on to that, the next point made in the article is to keep track of everything, have records. In professional practices, they made us make charts. And we would list the work, we would list the dimensions, we would list the medium, and where it was located, and how much we would be selling it for. But it's especially important, as we've mentioned this whole time, to keep into account cost materials and the time it took to make it. And that's what you really want to base the selling point off. But something that people can kind of come into problems with is when you become attached to a piece, or it was really difficult for you to work on and it's harder for you to let go, so you feel the need to price it more. But that's something that can be harder to explain or to convince someone to buy because it meant more to you. So really just try to keep it to the size, the material, the time it took you to make it. And
I'm paused too soon.
Yeah, I'm just trying to read over it. But I don't understand this one.
I think it's because, so like with imposter syndrome, you could feel that your work is not good enough. Mm-hmm. You could feel that you're not a professional enough. Even though, like let's say like I graduated, but I still don't feel adequate enough to price my work higher now that I have my degree. But that is a complete valid reason for me to price my work higher because I went through all this education. And so I shouldn't be afraid to price the work that it should be valued at because I don't feel adequate enough. Because then I am just going to keep taking steps back.
Undermining yourself.
And maybe not moving forward with your work.
So, something else to start thinking about, once you start getting a little bit of a following, once people start really getting into your work and you get commissions and you start getting more traction, that's when you should start raising your prices, because that means these people want what you have and they want to pay for it. So raise your price.
Yeah, there's a higher demand for your work.
Yeah, you deserve that because these people are recognizing your talent and you are working for this. So a good rule of thumb is to maybe raise your price from 10 to 20%. And that's just a starting point. If you start getting into, let's say, the MoMA, mm-hmm. go hard. I don't know how much they price their stuff at. I don't want to look. But that's something to do when you want to raise prices and when you should consider to raise your price. And what if you're not selling? Should you lower your prices? No. No, do not. Your work has value. Do not. The value that you decided, that's the value it stays at. Don't have sales on your artwork because you're not some. I don't know how to say it. Your work has a starting value, and your work does not lose value. It just stays at that value that you put it at. It can gain value. Let's say in the future you've become a successful artist and people want to see your beginning work. That work might even become even more valuable because it's what you started off with. But never price your work less than what you've originally priced it at. And also, don't forget to promote yourself. So you hear us at the beginning of every podcast say, "We're Sundays at Sarah's, follow us. Email us and stuff."
And I feel like a lot of people, especially like me, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother people, or I don't want to seem like I'm self-promoting. But there's literally nothing wrong with self-promoting because you're trying to make a living and you're trying to get your work out there, and somebody needs to be promoting your work. And if you're not going to pay somebody to promote your work, then you need to be doing it yourself. And you shouldn't feel bad about, like, even if you're saying every day, like, check out my artwork, look at my website, check out my Instagram, so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. That there's nothing to be ashamed about doing that at all.
And I think we could talk about some personal experiences with selling stuff.
Well, I mean, I guess you could talk about some things that you've sold. I don't know.
Stuff? I've sold a few things. I've never sold, like a one-off. Like, my drawings have never sold. The main things that I've sold are prints. I guess I have done one-offs, like the little paintings that I do, the watercolors, or like the flash mm-hmm. things that I've sold. But it's mostly prints. Like I said, prints are usually easier to sell because you price them a little bit cheaper because there's more of them and they're a little bit quicker to make. Sometimes, not all the time, like in Talia, that's a whole other ball game. But yeah, there was one time where I was charged for a class that I dropped, even though I dropped before the deadline, and I still had to pay the full course, and I wasn't expecting it, and I was kind of whammied at the end of my spring semester and had to make up $700 over the summer, and I was thankfully able to sell a lot of prints to do that, but I wasn't selling the prints for $50, $75, $100. I was selling the prints as cheap as $10, most expensive $25. And because I had a lot of them and there were prints that were larger, so those ones were the ones that were $25. The ones that were more expensive were my lithography prints, the ones that I felt were more beautiful and expressive. The cheaper ones were my smaller screen prints that they took time, but not as much time as the other ones, and that the subject was not as meaningful or serious. They were more playful pieces. Mm-hmm. And even then, I have a hard time selling that stuff. Like, I really had to push them and be posting on the story and posting on the Twitter, on the feed and on Twitter. And sometimes it almost feels like you're begging people to check your stuff out, but I ain't no shame in the game. I'm trying to promote my work. I want people to have prints, and I was delivering them. I was mailing them. Also, mailing art is very expensive, and there's, like, special ways that you have to mail it so that it's protected because things can get damaged so easily in the mail. I don't know. It's really hard. I've done a couple commission pieces, but nothing ever more than $25 because the work is really small, or the people who usually ask me are people who are really close to me, and I don't know, sometimes I feel weird asking people for money. It's a tough situation. Like, we talked about all these things and why we should be pricing our art and that our art does have value, but it's still on, I think, on the artist's end, sometimes can be uncomfortable to ask for more money or just tricky. But yeah, it's definitely a tough and tricky situation selling your art. And I guess a big part of it is just recognizing the value of your work and having confidence. And even if you have to deal with a few people that ghost you, leave you unread, like, I feel like that's just inevitable.
Yeah.
And
people who don't want to pay the price that you're asking for, or who try to negotiate with you. Everyone, or every artist, goes through that, I feel like. Or they're mm-hmm. going to go through that at some point in their life. But we hope that, like, these tips at least help you, and so you're not so lost on, like, how you should be pricing your work, if you deserve to be pricing your work at a price that maybe you think is higher or not affordable. Like, you should have value in your work. There is value in your work, and you should come to accept it. I think that's a, mm-hmm. one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also wanted to recommend a couple books that might help you, not just with pricing your work, but that cover a wide range of topics such as displaying, shipping, selling, documenting, making. So one of them is called Show Your Work by Austin Kleon, and it's 10 ways to share your creativity and get discovered. This one's a really nice, quick book to flip through. It's not that expensive. I think they sell them at Barnes & Noble's. And if not, you can find everything on the internet nowadays. But this one goes through a really concise list of 10 things to stick to. And
How to Show Your Work. A couple other books would be Starting Your Career as an Artist, A Guide to Launching a Creative Life by Angie Wojak and Stacey Miller. And another one, Art Inc. by Lisa Congdon. And also another book that I forgot to bring today. It's just called Art Work. It's a yellow cover. And that one has a lot of information from the very beginning of your career as an artist, hopefully to the end. And it has a lot of comments and advice left by working artists in the field today. So it's not only informative, but it shares a lot of personal experience and opinions from working artists now. So if you would like to check out any of those books, I think everything you can find, no more than $25. A lot of things are way less than that, a lot of those books. And of course, there are also great resources like the article that we were referencing today, if you just do some little independent research. And I hope that you guys got something out of this episode, whether you're an artist trying to figure out how to price your work, or a consumer who's interested in buying work but might not know how to approach people about that, and things to be conscious of when you are talking to artists for commissions or for work they've already done.
Yeah. I think you pretty much wrapped it up for all of us, and we agree as well.
We agree.
All right, then thank you so much for listening. We hope to have you back next week, and if you have a chance, check out our other episodes. We hope you find interest in them. Play them on the way to work, on your way to school, when you're chilling. Everyone has an hour of their day where they're listening to music or watching TV, so maybe throw on the podcast, share it with your friends, share it with your neighbors, share it with your cousins. We'd love to have you all listening. And like we mention every episode, if you have anything that you'd like to send us, any comments, critiques, suggestions, we have our email, sundays@sarahs@gmail.com, our Instagram, sundays@sarahs. You can DM us there. We're always looking for suggestions for things that you really want to hear about. We don't just want to talk about what we like. We want to hear what you guys like too. So please, we'd love to have some feedback. And yeah, I guess that's all for now. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Bye.